Let's talk about the intermediate risk patient and your approach and the clinical research you're doing on those patients.
In our program, intermediate risk means a Gleason score greater than or equal to 7 or a PSA greater than or equal to 10 or clinical stage greater than or equal to T2C. So there can only be one adverse risk factor. However, with our intermediate risk definition, it also includes Gleason 8, Gleason 9 potentially, which would always be high risk in either the Mount Sinai or the Anthony D'Amico classifications. Our original prospective randomized trial for brachytherapy patients compared a standard approach, which traditionally gave 5 weeks of radiation followed by a palladium boost. We reduced the external beam to only 2 weeks, 20 gray, increased the palladium boost dose from 90 gray to 115 gray, and were able to find comparable biochemical outcome. By looking at 20 gray, what we were really evaluating is this spackle effect that Anthony Zeitman had coined, that the early benefit that was demonstrated in the Seattle series for beam may very well have been due to dose deficiencies within the target volume, and all the external beam was doing was spackling in those dose deficiencies. So the fact that that trial, which has now matured to 5 years, and the preliminary biochemical data are the same in both arms, we've now opened the second generation, which is looking at 20 gray versus a monotherapeutic palladium implant. That's accruing very well. Another very important study for intermediate risk patients is being conducted by the RTOG 0232. And that is looking at 45 gray versus no beam. So there will not be an intermediate dose in that trial. But hopefully the completion of the Wheeling, Seattle, and the RTOG studies will once and for all help define the true role of supplemental beam in these intermediate risk patients.
Now, what about the role of androgen deprivation in these patients?
There are no prospective randomized trials to evaluate that. Everything is retrospective, but there have not been good retrospective studies that have demonstrated an improvement using androgen deprivation therapy unless the implant quality has been poor. The Mount Sinai group with Stock and Stone have evaluated that more than anyone. With high-quality brachytherapy, androgen deprivation therapy did not improve biochemical outcome in intermediate or even in their high-risk population. But with suboptimal brachytherapy, there was a substantial improvement in biochemical outcome. There have been about 4 studies now with high-risk patients that have shown that androgen deprivation therapy improves biochemical outcome. And as we discussed a little earlier, we will have a prospective randomized trial opening in the near future. And I do expect that androgen deprivation therapy will improve the outcome of those patients. However, in all of the retrospective studies that have been published, including that from our group, the patients that were hormonally manipulated had statistically significant shorter follow-up than the hormone-naive patients. And in the short run, androgen deprivation therapy does distort the true biochemical outcome. But with that being said, I still believe that in high-risk patients, androgen deprivation therapy will be proven to be useful.